Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur with the beginning of a new perek, the 12th perek of Yevamos, entitled Mitzvas Chalitza. Here, the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara will get into the practical aspects of the Chalitza ceremony. That ceremony which releases the widow of the man who died, leaving no children, and enabling her to marry anyone of her choice, releasing her from the levirate bond. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we have the following. HaMishnah Mefaretes Dinim Shonim HaKshurim B'Chalitza. The Mishnah will detail different halachas, different laws regarding the Chalitza ceremony. Mispar HaDayonim will deal with the number of judges. Dinim Benal Atzmo, laws regarding the actual shoe that is removed. Mokoim Horegel, and what is the place of the foot, place on the foot that is required. The Mishnah. Mitzvahs Chalitza b'shloisha dayonim. The proper way of doing Chalitza is in the presence of three judges, v'afilu shlosh ten hedyotos, even if they are three commoners. Chotza bin minal Chalitza k'sheira. If the shoe that she removes from the brother-in-law's foot is a minal, Rashi says, shel or rach hu ke'en shalonu. It's a soft leather type shoe, similar to what Rashi calls some our shoes. So then it's okay. The indication of the language of the Mishnah, the expression of Chalitza Sikshir indicates that it's not the best choice, but it's okay. Rashi is sensitive to this, and he says, Chalitza Kshera, Aval Lechadchila Lo, but as a first choice, no. Can it meforshly come on? Because, and that it will be explained later, Mishum Minol Hamarupat, Shinital Gabo, the Minol type shoe is subject to being ripped, where the top of it could be ripped off. Aval Iker Chalitza Besandol, the Iker, the main form of Chalitza, is through a different type of foot gear called a sandal. Fushal or kosha. It's made of hardened leather. Umuvushal. The leather is cooked. Umishinifchas ein lo takona. It's a type of leather that when it gets ripped, it has no takona. It can't be fixed. The ein derech lenol, and one would not wear it. So we're looking for that kind of, we'll call it that kind of shoe that. If it's good now, that's it. It's good now, but if something happens to it, it's rendered useless. The Mishnah continues. An pilya chalitza subsula. If an pilya is used, that's a cloth type of shoe that is unfit. It's psula. It's not qualified. It doesn't qualify as an acceptable form of chalitza. Besandol sheyesh lo okev kosher, the sandal that is the preferred shoe, if it has a heel to it, it's good. V'she'en lo okev posel, if it doesn't have a heel to it, it's a heel, or Rashi says, uses a French word, might very well be a reference to a sole. It doesn't have a sole to it, it's not acceptable. Min harakuva ulamato chalitza kshera, any part of the foot from beneath the knee. In other words, you're dealing with a person whose foot was amputated, but there remains the portion of the leg beneath the knee. So that's okay. So that if the shoe were attached to the stump of the leg under the beneath the knee, it's okay. min arkuva olamala chalitza psula. But the removal of the shoe from a leg that's been amputated above the knee, that is not considered an acceptable form of chalitza. Chalitza b'sandal she'en shelo, if the shoe removed was a shoe that didn't belong to the brother, oi b'sandal shel eitz, or a shoe made of wood, o b'shel smol b'yamin, or if it's a left shoe that was removed from the right foot, chalitza kshera, the chalitza is acceptable. Chalitza begodol shu yochol la'aloch bo, if a shoe that's larger than his shoe size was removed, it's larger but he's able to walk with it, that's what's described here. Oy bekotan shu chayfes roiv raglo, or a shoe that's small but it covers the majority of his foot, chalitza sekshera, the chalitza is acceptable. The details of this Mishnah will be explained in the upcoming Gemara. Umeachar da'afilu shloisha edyotos, once you tell me in the Mishnah that three commoners are acceptable, dayonim lomali, why does the Mishnah make reference to dayonim? Dayonim ostensibly are people from the Sanhedrin, people from the formal court system. So we're not requiring that. We're requiring commoners. So why does the Mishnah say dayonim? Ha komash malon. The following is what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Deboinon b'shloisha shiyodim lahakrois ke'ein dayonim. We require three. They might be commoners, but they are able to read. The chalitza ceremony requires the announcement or recitation of portions in the Torah. So they have to be able to read like people that are knowledgeable, like judges. Tanina lahadatorna rabban. Our Mishnah reflects information that you see in a brisa. Mitzvas chalitza b'shlosha shiyodim lahakrois ke'ein dayanim. And here you have that very point that we just mentioned, that the mitzvah chalitza requires three that are able to read. They're knowledgeable, they're capable of reading, like judges. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda requires five judges, five people present for the chalitza ceremony. On the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, the topic heading we have here, Mikoros lemispar adayonim deboinen lechalitza, sources for these numbers, Latanakama Gimel, 3, and the Rabbi Yehuda, hey, 5. My Taina, the Gemara continues, my Taina de Tanakama, what's the basis of the Tanakama who says 3? Desanya, the Tanaic source cites words from the Torah, and Rashi quotes the relevant psukim. One pasuk that Rashi quotes is v'koru v'olso yavimto hashayra el hazakenim. The yavimto goes to the gate, to the elders. And another pasuk that will be dealt with, v'koru lo ziknei iro. So now, with those psukim in mind, specifically the words zakenim and the word ziknei, we continue, zakenim equals shnayim. The use of the word elders in the plural form indicates two. And now there's another halacha that's dealt with here very briefly. The ain based in shokel. And you can't have a court that is made up of an even number. Based in shokel means an even number. So two is an even number. And a basin has to be set up in such a way that you, if a basin were, let us say, take a vote on something, that you will have a majority, not a split decision. So we don't have even number courts. Mosif and aleim oid echad, and therefore we have to add another. Hare kan shlosha, that gives you a total of three. Rav Yehuda, ziknei shnayim, zikenim shnayim. You have an additional word that has to be accounted for, and that's the word ziknei, which is also in the plural form. We quoted the pasuk before that you can see in the Rashi, v'korlo ziknei iro. Ziknei is in the plural form, two, and zikenim is also two. The ain based in shokel, two and two would be four. You can't have an even number. Mosif analem ode echad, we add one more. Hare kan chamisha, that gives you five. And now as we go through the Gemara, the opinions of each one, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, will be presented, and we'll be going in a type of back and forth situation. What does each one do with the other one's sources? And in order to help in following who the focus is on, we squiggle underline the focus, the name being focused on here. For example, for Tanakhama, the next line you can see Rabbi Yehuda, and this marking scheme will continue to the top of the upper part of Omid Beis as well. The Tanakhama, hi Zikne, my Ovidle. What does the Tanakhama do with the word Zikne that Rabbi Yehuda darshan for an additional two? Answer, Miboyale, Lirubuye, Afilu, Shloisha, Hedyotas. From the word, from the extra word Zikne, we, the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, sees that we can include not just official. Zikanim would imply formal scholars, formal judges. So the extra expression says, you know what, you can have even three commoners. Rabbi Yehuda had Yotis min Ole. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that commoners are acceptable? And note that we have a long answer. This man's, the answer takes us to the top of Omid Beis. Nafka le, Rabbi Yehuda will learn out commoners may le aine. The word le aine appears in the psukim that are relevant to the chalitza ceremony, and so he sees from the word li'ene, diomar mar li'ene, prat l'sumin, and it's been taught that the word li'ene means in front of their eyes, that it excludes blind people. So blind people cannot serve as the court for chalitza. From the fact that the word leine is coming to exclude blind individuals, shmamino da filu hedyotos, we conclude from here that as a result of that, they are excluded, but we can accept even commoners. De'i salka daitoch sanhedrin bo'inon, if you were to think that you do need formal judges from the court, from the formal court called Sanhedrin, loma li lemute sumin, why would I have to go out of my way to exclude the blind? Midatoni Rav Yosef Nafka, blind would be excluded from Rav Yosef's teaching. Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef teaches as follows: Kishem shebeisim menukin b'tzedek, kach beisim menukin mikol mum. Just like the court must be clean and free of sin, menukim b'tzedek means they're clean and they are righteous. So too, they must be physically clean of blemishes, and that would include the exclusion of blind individuals. Shenemar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shenemar, kuloch yafa rayasi umum ein boch. So from this pasuk, we learn that the court must be also physically blemish free, so that the fact that the word li'ene is used to exclude sumin, it shows us that the population that we draw upon for the chalitza ceremony is not the court. Hence we learn even commoners, because if the population drawn upon for the chalitza ceremony was the court, the formal courts, then you wouldn't need li'ene to exclude sumin. V'idoch, the Tanakhama, hahu li'ene my Ovid le. What does the Tanakhama derive from li'ene? After all, the Tanakhama had Zikne as his source to include Hedyotos. Rabbi Yehuda used li'ene as his source to from which we would learn even Hedyotos. So what does the Tanakhama do with li'ene? Answer, hahu l'chida rova hu dasa. It comes to teach that which rova derived. The Omar rova, tzrichi dayoni l'mechsi roka t'konofik mipuma d'yavoma. The judges that are present for the chalitza ceremony have to be able to see the spit. Now, spitting is one of the facets of the chalitza ceremony. The sister-in-law, she spits in the presence of her brother-in-law and in the presence of the judges. And from Li'ene, we learn that the spittle itself must be visible to the judges. So that phrase means the tzrichi dayoni lemechsi. The dayonim, the judges, have to see the roika, the spittle, the konofik mipuma that exits her mouth. Puma is her mouth, the yavama of the sister-in-law. Dichtiv le'ainei hazikenim v'yorka. The idach, the Gemara asks, well, Rebbe Yehuda nami miboya le lechadorava. Does Rebbe Yehuda not in fact need le'ainei for that point of law? In Hochinami, you're right. Viela had Yotos Minole, so then where will Rebbe Yehuda learn that commoners are acceptable? Before this, we thought that Leine was his source for commoners, but now we're saying Leine is needed for the noticing or the visibility of the roke on the part of the Dayonim. So where does Rebbe Yehuda now learn Hedyotos from, commoners? Nafka mi be Yisrael. Yisrael called to who? The word be Israel appears in the Pasuk. And you can see the Pasuk is quoted in the Rashi at the upper part of the page, the upper first line, be Israel, Lahokim, Lahokim, Shem, be Israel. So from the word be Israel, we learn any kind of Israel, any kind of Jew, even a commoner. V'idoch hai be Israel, my Ovidle, what does the Tanakama do with that word? Answer, Miboyale, Lichetetoni, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Tanakama needs it for Shmuel's teaching. Be Israel means Bebezin shel Yisrael velo Bebezin shel Gerim. The assembled sages or people, judges for the ceremony must be Jews of Jewish lineage, not converts. The Idach, Rebbe Yehuda, where does he learn the exclusion of converts for the Chalitza ceremony? Be Israel, Achrino Ksiv. There's another Pasuk in which Yisrael is found. This, the first Yisrael that was quoted in the Tanaic source was from Dvarim Perichov Hei Pasuk Zayin. This is a Yisrael word that you find in Pasuk Yud. V'idach, well, the Tanakama, what does he do with that additional Yisrael? He'll need it for the following teaching. Omer V'yuda, Pam Achas, Hoyseyoshev Lifnei Rabbi Tarfon. Once I was in the presence, I was seated in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon, who bought Yevoma Lachloitz, and a Yevoma came to us for a Chalitza ceremony. The Omar Lanu, and Rabbi Tarfon said, Anu Kulchem, I want all of you to respond Chalotzanal, so that there's a refrain on the part of those assembled when the ceremony takes place. And that's learned from Be Yisrael, that those that are assembled also participate in this sense, that they recite that statement. V'idach Reb Yehuda mi v'nikra nafka. The word v'nikra is in the Pasuk, and we've quoted this on the side of the words in Perek Chofei of Dvarim Pasuk Yud, v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalotzanal. And you can take advantage of that which we've included on the side to see the relevant psukim. V'nikra means they proclaim. So that's a reference to this calling out of Chalotz Hanal. Elo me'ata. Now, if numbers of judges for the Chalitza ceremony are determined by the plural form of words, so why stop at 3 and 5? Tanakama and Rebbe Yehuda respectively. V'koru equals Shnayim. In Pasuk Ches, you see the word V'koru, that's in the plural form. And V'dibru equals Shnayim, that's another plural form. Hochi Nami, are you going to say then the Rebbe Yehuda Hare Kantisha, because we've added 2 and 2, another 4, so according to Rebbe Yehuda, who already established 5, 5 and 4 is 9, the Rabbonon Hare Kantisha, and according to the Rabbonon, whose basic number was 3, now we're going to add these 4, giving you a total of 7? Now, of course, that's not their opinions. Their opinions were Rebbe Yehuda 5 and the Rabbonon 3, not 9 and 7. The Gemara responds, Hahu miboyale lechadisanya. Those words, v'koru and v'dibru, are needed for something else, for that which is taught in the following source. V'koru lo means the judges that are assembled, they summon him, v'lo shlucham. they themselves summon him, and not their agents, not their emissaries. V'dibru elov, and they speak to him, they address him. Melamed, this teaches us, shemasiyin lo eitza ha'igenes loy, they provide him with proper counsel. Shimhoya, who yelled vizikena, if he, the brother, the surviving brother, is youthful, is young, and she's old. Who zokein v'hi yalta, or the opposite? He's old, he's elderly, and she's young. Omrim lo, we tell him, ma lecho etzel yalda, ma lecho etzel zakena. What, you're an old man, what are you doing trying to marry a young woman? Or you're a young fellow, what are you trying to marry an elderly woman? Klach etzel shekamoscha, go unto someone like you, v'al tachnis k'tota l'toch beisecha, don't bring into your house strife. So you see that if there's a very large age gap between the two, that is only a recipe for discontent, for strife, and hence, even though Yibum is regarded as a mitzvah, but there's this additional element of, we'll say, common sense that plays a role. And that's reflected in the words, V'dibru elov. They speak him, they address him, providing him with counsel as how to really proceed. Omar Rava, Omar of Nachman, Halacha Chalitza B'Shloisha, the ruling is that Chalitza requires three, like the Tanakama. Hoyol V'sosam Lontano Kavosei, since we have our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, it's a Mishnah that's without a name in it, and Mishnayos that are presented without names are viewed as, say, more authoritative, and hence three is the way to go. Now, we have a long question. Omar Le Rava L'Rav Nachman. Rava had just quoted Rav Nachman. Now Rava addresses Rav Nachman. I hachi, miun nami, disnan, miun. This is a process or a procedure when a girl was married rabbinically through the good offices of her brother or mother. This girl is a minor. She's under 12. Her father died. And rabbinically, the mother and brother can marry her off to some man. And since it's a rabbinic-type marriage, there's this additional feature that before reaching adulthood, before 12 years of age, the girl can walk out by refusing. Miun is refusal. Refusing to continue with the fellow. Her refusal is done in the presence of of judges. So now, with regard to chalitza, we said three are required because we have a stam mishnah indicating three. Well, if that be the case, miun nami disnan hamiun v'chalitza b'shlosha. There's a mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin that says three for miun, just like we require three for chalitza. Are you going to say that miun also is three? V'chitema hachi nami. And if you say yes, that's right. V'hatanya. But we have the following source. We're going to read a Tanaic source, and it's important to know at the end of the source, we have a connector indicating to keep reading where you see a third wide line. At the end of the line, Rav Yosef Bar Miyumi says, and Rav Nachman, the Aloch is like that pair. And we'll have to see, that's going to be our point of focus. So let's continue now regarding the question of how many are needed for Miyun. V'hatanya, Miyun Beishamai Omrim, Beisdin Mumchinu, Beisilo Omrim, Beisdin Vishlo Beisdin. As far as Miyun is concerned, Beis Shammai insists on a court of experts, and Beis Hillel says in Beis Din and not in Beis Din. You can see that Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai, saying that the requirement of having a court of experts is not necessary. Elu ve'elu modim shetzorch shlosha. Both agree, however, that you need, number-wise, you need three. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, machshirin b'shnayim. Now these two, tanoim, say two is enough. V'yomar Rabbi Yosef bar Minyumi, Yomar Rav Nachman, halacha koisu hazug. And here you have a ruling In fact, Rav Nachman is quoted here as saying, the halacha is like that pair of rabbis, meaning two. So that here you have a final ruling of two, even though it is contrary to the three that you find in a Stam Mishnah. So why is it then that Rav Nachman, with regard to Chalitza, says three is enough, and with regard to Miyun, even though there's a Stam Mishnah indicating three, says two is enough? Now you see there are a few triangles that appear on us, and on the side, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we indicate Shuvos LaSheila Lama Davka B'Chalitza Poiskim Shehi B'Shlosha V'lo B'Miyun. Why Davka, why only by Chalitza do we say three, and not so by Miyun? So answers to that. The Gemara says, Hosam chad stam of ochot trei stami. With regard to Miyun, you only have one Stam Mishnah, one unnamed authoritative type Mishnah. So that's not as, we'll say, as authoritative, as convincing, as opposed to Chalitza, where you have two Stam Mishnahs. You have our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. That Mishnah in Sanhedrin, by the way, made reference to Chalitza as well, as you can see, just a couple lines up on the first wide line, the second word on the line. The Gemara asks, also nami trei stami ninu, regarding Miyun and the number three, you have actually two Stam Mishnayas. It says, disnan miyana o shecholza befonav, isoena mipnei shehu beizdin. The Mishnah says that if Miyun or Chalitza took in front of him, in front of a sage, so he is allowed to marry her because he was part of a Beis Din. Now this is a source that we had quite a bit earlier in the Masichta, where the general issue there was, can a functionary, a judge or witnesses, can they marry the people concerning whom they were present in this judicial capacity? So if without them, or if the decision in whatever case was totally dependent on them, so they're considered having a vested interest, so they can't marry the woman concerning whom they were functioning in this judicial capacity. However, if the decision was not totally dependent on that individual, so then they can marry the woman. So here we have the source that's from earlier in the Masichta, that if a woman is mimayenis, or she does chalitza in front of a sage, but he's part of a court, and you see the word, it said here, mimeshu basin, he's part of a court. That particular judge, one of the members of the court, can marry her, because there were two others. He wasn't the sole functionary. What do we see, though, from here? We see a second source dealing with Miyun, and that it is done in the context of a Beis Din, of a court, of three. The minimum required for a court is three. So the question once again is, why does Rav Nachman say that with regard to Chalitza you need three, with regard to Miyun it's not that way, two is enough? The Gemara answers, Ela Hosam Trei Stami Hocha Tzlosa Stami. Here it's a real numbers game. With regard to Miyun, I grant you, there are two Stam sources for three, but with regard to Chalitza, there are three Stam sources. In fact, in this last source, you see Chalitza also referred to, making it a third source for three for Chalitza. The Gemara asks, in all due respect to the numbers game, Michti, ha stamo v'ha stamo, Mali chad stam, Mali trei stam, Mali tlosa. We're dealing with unnamed sources. Now, unnamed sources are in and of themselves they're quite authoritative. What difference should it make if you've got one, if you've got two, if you've got three sources? You have a stam source by Miyun saying three. So then why the difference? Why in the case of Miyun are we not basing ourselves on the stam source indicating three? And with regard to Chalitza, we do. Elo Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Hoyol V'sosam V'mokoyim Machloikes. With regard to the numbers required for Chalitza, you find an unnamed statement in the context of controversy, where there was controversy. We'll try to explain this as we go on in the Gemara. Maybe before we go on, we'll just look at Rashi for introductory purposes. You notice Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. We find Rabbi Yehuda, who should be a familiar name to us, because Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Chalitza, mentioned that he requires five. We find in another source where Rabbi Yehuda appears in a controversy regarding a different topic. Ubedover Zen, regarding this matter of Chalitza lo nechlak, Rabbi Yehuda is silent. Shmamino hodar be, it must be that he had a change of opinion. We see that Rabbi Yehuda appears over there in the source we haven't read yet, arguing. When it comes to the issue of Chalitza, he doesn't argue. But we know that he has a different opinion, but yet he's silent over there. What does that show? It shows that, yes, once he held you need five, but he had a reversal of thought. Avol miun lav stama b'mokam achlokesi, but as far as the issue of miun is concerned, you don't have that same phenomenon of an unnamed statement regarding the requirement of three in a case where there was controversy. Tahanoch trei darach tanoi Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi lo maisinun hosam apluta achriti denemo midelo iflug behal shmamino haji behu. But the other opinions, those two other tanoim that said two is enough, they do not state their opinion in a place where they had argued regarding some other topic and then were silent that we could say that there was a change of opinion. So let us now turn back to the Gemara. The final triangle that we have is Elam Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Hoyel V'Sosam V'Mokoy Machlokes. The issue of Chalitza, you find silence on the part of Rabbi Yehuda in a situation where Rabbi Yehuda himself actually had expressed a dissenting point of view on a different matter. Disnan smicha zekenim ve'eglo arufa b'shlosha divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha. There are two ceremonies referred to here. There's smicha zekenim, that's the certification of a person to be considered a judge, and Eglo Arufa, that's the ceremony where a murder victim is found between two cities, closer a little to one than the other. The members of that city have to provide a calf whose neck is broken, and that's quite an involved situation in and of itself. The details are not important for us right now, but how many are necessary for those ceremonies? So here you have two opinions. Rabbi Yossi says three, and Rabbi Yehuda says five. Now see, you see that we've dashed on the line Rabbi Yehuda's name. Notice, here he expresses his opinion regarding numbers, regarding those ceremonies. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, HaChalitza v'amiyunin b'shlosha v'lo kapolig Rabbi Yehuda. Chalitza is done in the presence of three. And here you don't have Rabbi Yehuda speaking up. He expressed his opinion regarding the first two ceremonies, but here he's quiet. And we know that we've seen him in the past saying a different number than three. Why is he quiet over here? Shmamino hodar be Rabbi Yehuda. Shmamino. It shows us that Rabbi Yehuda had a change of mind, and therefore the three is viewed as a unanimous opinion as far as the numbers required for Chalitza. Before we continue, there's an introductory point that will appear shortly. First we continue with the Gemara text. Omar Rava, Tzrichi Dayoni Lemikba Duchta. The Dayonim have to establish a location for the Chalitza. And they say that in this location, this location is designed for Chalitza, where a designation of a spot for that purpose. Dechtivi also Yavimto Ashira El Hazakenim. That's what is derived from the Pasuk that the Yavama arises to the gate to the elders. Rav Papa v'Rav Huna v'Reid Rav Yeshua Avdi Uvdo B'Chamisha. they did a chalitza in the presence of five. The Gemara asks, where'd you get the number five from? Keman, Kribyuda. Are you basing that on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda HaHoderbe? But he had a reversal of thinking on that. We saw just before. So why are you requiring five? Le Pursume Milsa. Rashi says, Le Pursume Milsa, the Chalutza Hivalo Linsiva Lekain. They wanted to have more people present so that it would become well known that this woman is a Chalutza, and thereby not end up marrying a Kohen. An Inami, Rashi has another opinion on that, why the requirement of more than is necessary. The Lesu Inshi Velikfitsu Allah. So other people should come and seek her out in marriage. Now that she's been freed from the levirate bond, others can marry her. So they wanted that to become well known, more public, more publicized. You'll notice on the side we have the Nosei Mivneh Maisim She'osu Chalitza Mivneh Chamisha. The dashed underline you'll see highlights this expression, Lefursume Milsa. Lo Shetzrichim Lekach Elo Lefursume Milsa. Not that we need to have five, but the five will generate greater publicity. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Iklo Lebei Rav Kana. Rav Ashi went to the home of Rav Kana. Omar Le, Solik Mor Legabon, Lemlue Bechamisha. Come and join us so that we can now have five. Apparently there were four people assembled, and Rav Ashi would represent the fifth. Omar Rav Kahana, Have Koimno Kamed Rav Yehuda. I was standing in the presence of Rav Yehuda. Omar Le, Ta Sok Lazirza Dekoni, Letstarufi Bechamisha. Rashi on the expression Lazirza Dekoni, Chavilo Shokonim, Vochu Leshiv Sham, Leshem Chalitza Zu. It was a bundle of reeds that were tied together, apparently to serve as a seat, as a bench, place for sitting, so that, and that would be the designated place for the Chalitza. So Rav Yehuda is inviting Rav Kana, come to the Zirza Dekoni, come to the reed bundle. Litzterufi bechamisha, to join us as and form a group of five. Omru lo lomali chamisha. They asked Rav Yehuda, why do you need five? Omar lui told them ki hechi de lefarse milsa, so as to publicize the matter. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda ki have a koimno kame de Rav Yehuda. Omar li, Rav Shmuel tells us that when I was in the presence of Rav Yehuda, he said to me, sok tola zirzu de koni. Come to the bundle of reeds, the Sufi Bechamisha, to join, forming a group of five, the Firsumi Milsa, so as to accomplish greater publicity. Omar Le, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, told him, Tanina, but we have a Tanaic source that says, Be Yisrael, Bebezed in Yisrael, Velo, Bebezed in Shelgerim, Vano Gerano. The Be Yisrael word taught that you have to have a court of Jews, not converts. It's true that a convert is a Jew, but we're talking about a Jew of pure Jewish descent. And Rav Shmuel says, I must tell you the truth, that I am a ger, I am a convert. Well, that was very impressive on his part for Shmuel to reveal his background and not to participate in a situation that a ger shouldn't participate. Now, just by way of parenthetically, what's interesting here is that the basic number was really three. He was joining up to form a unit of five for extra publicity, and even so he says that he doesn't want to be part of that. Again, that's just a thought that comes to mind without my having researched it. And I guess that Rav Yehuda was very impressed with Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's hesitation, even though maybe by letter of the law he could have participated, because you had your basic three anyway. So Rav Yehuda says as follows: Kegon Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Mafikno Mamona Apumei. And this statement will be redone for accuracy in a moment, but right now we're going to translate. It's not accurate, but we're going to translate it. Rav Yehuda said, regarding this gentleman, Rav Shmuel, he says, someone like that, he's so honest, so reliable, I would extract money from A and give to B if it was on his word alone. He's so reliable, he's so trustworthy, that if he says that I know that so-and-so owes money, that A owes money to B, I would take the money from A on his word. So the Gemara asks, could that possibly to extract money, to take away money from A to give to B? When it comes to matters of judgment and court procedure, you have to have two witnesses. It's not enough to say for a single witness to say I saw A take a loan from B and hence A owes money to B. You need two witnesses. So what was Rav Yehuda saying as his expression of admiration for Rav Shmuel? Elo morano shtora apume. Notice the word morana has its root, the word ra. Ra is something that's bad or weak. Ra uwa, something that's weak. So what Rav Yehuda was saying regarding Rav Shmuel was that if Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda would come and tell me that I know that this document has been paid up. So if you have Mr. X coming to collect from Mr. Y with a shtar indicating that Y owes X, and so Mr. X is trying to collect, and in comes Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda saying, I know that shtar has been paid up already. So upon such a comment, if it were ever made, Rav Yehuda would say, I would trust him, and I would not enable X to collect from Mr. Y. So here, that's not a function of extracting money from one to give to two. That, in fact, you need to have two witnesses in order to be able to do that. But as far as weakening someone's claim, if the source of that information was someone that's very trustworthy, so you would act accordingly. Omar Rava. We continue at the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Ger Don Es Chavero Dvar Torah. And on the top of the page we have our topic heading. Ger Yochel Lodun Ger Chavero Dinei Nefoshes. When it comes to capital cases, even though we saw a certain limitation, we'll say, to a ger functioning as a judge, nevertheless, when it comes to the judgment of a ger, another convert can serve as a judge regarding the case. And Rava says this is something that's sanctioned by the Torah, that a ger can judge his fellow ger. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, now the Pasuk deals with the placing of a appointing of a king. However, when we deal with appointing of a king, we're also dealing with a broader topic, the appointing of officials. So the Pasuk says, Soim tosim alecho melech, ashivcha Hashem elokecho bo, you shall place upon yourselves a king that Hashem chooses. Mikerev alchecho tosim alecho melech, from amongst your brethren you place upon yourself the king. And now the drosha. Alecha, on you, on the Jewish people, people of pure Jewish descent, hu deboinon mikerev achecho. It is there that the requirement of mikerev achecho applies. Mikerev achecho, meaning from amongst your own kind, from amongst yourselves, others that are of pure Jewish descent. Avo. Ger, don es chavero ger. A convert can judge his friend, his fellow convert. So once again, when it comes to people of pure Jewish descent, so in order for them to be judged, you have to have someone like them, also others of pure Jewish descent. But that's limited to the case of people that are of pure Jewish descent. However, when it comes to converts, so they can be judged by even those that are not of pure Jewish descent, by other converts. V'im hoisa imo miYisrael. If you have someone whose mother was Jewish, even though his father was not, Don Afilu Yisrael, then he's considered a full-fledged Jew with regard to serving as a judge. A judge even in capital offenses. Li'inyan chalitza, however, and this is interesting, when it comes to the chalitza ceremony, there's an additional, more restrictive requirement than you have even in capital cases. Ad she oviv vi'imo miYisrael. You have to have the fellow's father as well as mother being from Jewish descent, or being Jews. It's not enough that the mother is Jewish. Shenemar v'nikro shemoi b'Yisrael. Now the word b'Yisrael, Rashi says, is mashmashie Yisrael mikol tzodim. It implies that the judge has to be of Jewish descent from both sides, both mother and father. Before we finish today's shiur, I would like to take the liberty of reading a halacha from the Rambam in Hilchis Yibum V'Chalitza, Perek Dalid, Halacha He. There he says, V'Hachalitza B'Yom V'Lo B'Layla, a point that we haven't discussed yet in our Gemara, U'Bifnei Shlosha Shiyodim L'Hakros, it must be in front of three that know how to read. Ve'im echod min hashlosha ger, possible if one of the three is a convert, so he is disqualified. Va'afilu hoya oviv ger ve'imo yisraelis, even if his father is a convert and his mother is of pure Jewish descent, lo sachlots ad she oviv ve'imo miYisrael. So when you see this expression oviv ve'imo miYisrael, we're according to the Rambam, it's excluding parents that themselves are converts. Umitzvosa behamisha, the Rambam says that the best way, the proper way to do it is with five. Kidei lefarsei madavar, as so as to publicize the matter. Vafilu veosan hashnayim afilu hoyu ame haaretz. So for our purposes, though, what we gain from seeing this in the Rambam is the definition of Imo miYisrael, that not only is the ger himself someone that's disqualified for Chalitza, but even if his parents are gerim, that would disqualify him from being acceptable for a court of Chalitza. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.